Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for June 2nd, 2014. It is Monday. Good afternoon, Al. Good afternoon, Al.
Did somebody hit my mute button, Melody?
I guess so. You know, it is Monday, but I'm glad you were able to make it back to us today. And
me too.
Me too.
Apparently, I hit my mute button, however, and I answered. And I said, "You know," he said, "Oh, I said, oh, Melody," and then it was just dead silence. And I thought, "What the heck is that?"
Well, we do seem to have a problem with that, both of us. But anyway.
I think it's Frank, the producer, is the common denominator when it comes to hitting these mute buttons. I think that's the problem.
Well, gold was muted today. Gold was down 820 today at 1244. We have silver down 9 at 1883. We have platinum down 17 at 1441, along with palladium down 6 at 835. So the big loser on the day was platinum. But you're not a loser if you're buying it. It's a good buying as it's down a little over $50 here in the last couple weeks. So if you guys are looking to diversify your portfolio, we do have 1 ounce platinum eagles available. The USDX today is trading stronger, 0.25 at 80.64. Crude oil today, 102.35, down 36. And the paper markets today, you know, you gotta love them. I mean, earlier in the day, they had the ISM came out, the Institute for Supply, who issues the monthly manufacturing report, and the markets were down earlier in the day. Not by much, but they were down. They came out, and they issued 2 corrections. To its monthly manufacturing report. Now, they don't normally do this. You usually don't have corrections to the manufacturing report. And so they corrected the number for its manufacturing index for May was 55.4, and it was a better result than the 53.2 figure that was reported initially. So now it shows that it's, you know, the manufacturing is growing at a brisk pace last month, correcting the earlier statement. And then, of course, you had the markets turn positive. NASDAQ didn't, but you did have the S&P finishing a third straight record high. The Dow set the second straight closing mark. The S&P was up 1.40. It's not a big gain, but still breaking that high at 1924.97. The NASDAQ was up 26 points at 16,743. And the NASDAQ was down 5 at 42.37. The 10-year yield, that took a big jump today. Remember, just last week it was, 2.41. I think we hit a low, 2.41. Now we're at 2.53%, gaining 0.08 on the 10-year yield. You don't like the numbers, just change it.
Yeah, right. It's like the weather. Stick around. You don't like the numbers, stick around, and we'll have some that you will like.
Yeah. There's no rules, no laws, no regulations you have to follow.
It's not even any shame. That's what offends me about this. If you're going to con me, at least go to the trouble of making a good con out of it. All right? These guys.
Make me feel con, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Give me something I can believe in, for God. I don't object to being lied to. But I object to being treated like a complete moron.
But certainly, a lot of the, they just do. At Washington, you had a new, Obama signed the, the environmental.
Well, it might be something to do with coal. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. New federal plans to cut the carbon dioxide emissions from power plants almost by a third. This is by 2030. This was announced today. And again, everything was bypassed. As far as I know, he just, signed the old executive order to get it done. And it was announced by the EPA today to reduce pollution linked to global warming. And under the proposal, states may get several years to submit plans in order to cut the power plant pollution. Many states that rely heavily on coal wouldn't have to cut a full 30. They gave them a break, which is 28%, and that's Ohio's target. Ohio's becoming an interesting state. They're doing a lot of things, and there's certain areas of that state is growing, and I see reports that I just kind of say, I wonder what they're doing. And but that was one of their target. They were, because of the coal production out of Ohio, they were, I don't know what they did to West Virginia. West Virginia has been devastated since Obama has been in office. So many jobs have been lost in the coal mines. Yeah. But the bill would require any power plant performance. They need to submit federal government to protect the affordability and reliability of electrical and minimize effects on industrial, commercial, and residential consumers. The only thing it means to me is our power bills are going higher. And any of those who are involved, and it makes you wonder how many of these folks, the ones who signed off on the bill and so forth, where they have their money invested. Because certainly you're going to see certain areas in the markets that will do very well because of this. So
that's always the case. There's always some ups and some downs, and you look to see what's the average. Are we more up than down or more down than up on average?
So, you think any company that would generate electric power with anything other than coal, gas. So there's a lot of places where we'll definitely do well because they'll be shutting down a lot of the coal mines.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But again, this is for, 2030? We're talking 16 years out right now. This isn't going to have an immediate impact. There will be. It's in the news, and everyone says, "Oh my gosh, look what Obama's done." I hadn't done anything exactly in terms of what's happening right this minute. There's a kind of reaction, but it's like telling everyone that one day the sun is going to explode. Now, it's probably not going to be for another 40 or 100 million years, but still. It's
something.
Okay, big deal. I don't think I'll be around,
It might seem like a long time away, but it takes a lot of time to do these changes, to submit plans, and then to what are they going to do in order to lower? 30% is a big number.
Well, you know, one of the things that's happening, yeah, it's a lot and rest, that sort of thing, but there's the opportunity over the course of the next 16 years, we can absolutely speculate on what's going to happen to solar power, for example. Right now, solar power isn't ready for prime time exactly. It's, you know, it's a, and but it's constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. It's constantly developing. In 16 years, it may be that we don't need coal or natural gas for energy supplies in this country. And it may be, it is conceivable, and as much as I dislike Obama and I'm not inclined to give him any credit, this might work out. It might push more people into alternative energy, wind power, solar power, whatever. Maybe that's where we're going to go. As people say, we have to have something that doesn't pollute. You know, there's a good chance right now what they're really concerned about, I think, with the coal is the sulfur that comes out of it, more so than carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide or whatever. But 16 years from now, it's not clear that we'll even be able to use natural gas and petroleum products without running into some sort of a pollution regulation. So we may see, as crazy as it sounds, who knows, maybe government is doing something that in the long run might work out for the good of the country. Now, I know that's crazy, it sounds nuts, government actually doing something for the benefit of the people, but it's, you know, an infinite number of politicians and an infinite number of laws, and sooner or later they actually have to do something, if only by accident, that might do the people some good.
What I really want to know is what's really in this bill that we haven't been told yet. Because number one, it usually has to do something with dollars, who's connected, who's going to make the most. This is already set up. I mean, this is already set up. 670
pages, if I understand correctly.
Yeah. So, I mean, right, you know, the money is going to be made. Yeah.
Yeah, read the
so
fine.
So it doesn't have anything it doesn't have anything to do with global warming.
No, I don't think so either. It's just,
and I think solar power is there. I think the technology is there. And I do believe it probably has been kept from becoming a major item in our energy.
I had a friend who, this is in the 1990s. Terry Lofton was his name. He's passed on. But at the time, he used to come to our legal reform meetings and whatever, and he bought books. And one day, I helped him get a pickup truck full of books down at SMU Law Library. They were dumping their old books, and he bought a pickup truck, filled the bed of his pickup with law books. Well, he was good for looking for books, and he went to an estate sale. And when he was there, he bought a three-volume set. These were three ring binders, three sets of them, that were the Federal Reserve Operation Manual. He subsequently sold them for something like $100 to some pilot out in Fort Worth who told me when I wanted to borrow them that he'd thrown them out because they weren't doing him any good. Now, if you want to see these manuals, they're available. You make an appointment to the Federal Reserve, you go visit them, and they'll let you read the books for a half hour. But you can't take any notes, you can't take any copying equipment, you can read the books for a half hour. And then you have to leave, and if you want to read more, make an appointment, and you come back in a few months. As a practical matter, you can't get at these books. Lofton had a three-volume set and an estate sale from some wealthy guy who was apparently affiliated with the Federal Reserve, and he died, and the heirs just sold everything, get whatever cash they could. The point of the story is Lofton read the three-volume set, and one of the things that he found is that it was Federal Reserve policy to not lend any money to alternative energy enterprises. They would lend money to coal, they'd lend money to nuclear, they'd lend money to petroleum, but nothing else. And what that meant was that the Federal Reserve, by their policy, by their lending policy, they essentially inhibited alternative energy development in this country. Now, I'm not going to argue that that's the policy today, but it was in the 1990s. So they have delayed the development of solar energy in this country just by making sure that these people couldn't easily borrow money. And you know, who knows? We're 5-10 years behind where we might otherwise have been, except for the Federal Reserve's medley. So my point is that you are correct that they have restricted alternative energy in the past, but I think the time is coming, if they haven't already stopped doing that, I think they're going to stop because there's going to be big money in it in the future.
I saw a video today where they have these solar panels, and you can line the streets, the sidewalks, traffic can run over them, and they're glass, and they say that is they can generate so much power. I mean, you could put them everywhere, and it was interesting. I don't know how far away or what it would cost in order to switch over, but it's hard to believe that
it's coming. It's becoming less expensive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say it's competitive yet, but it's getting close to being competitive. And the day will come when it is.
Not
just because solar is getting cheaper, but because inevitably coal will become more expensive. Inevitably, natural gas and petroleum will become more expensive. And nuclear, I mean, you got to be crazy to build another nuclear power plant. The truth of the matter is, the day will come when we're going to start shutting those nuclear power plants down, lest we have a Fukushima in this country.
Well, it'll become more once all these oil rigs and the people who own them and process them and the big money behind it get involved in the alternative, then you'll see the change. But once those old families die out and the young kids come aboard or whatever, then you might see the change. But as long as these old families are still there making, you know, billions of dollars, you're going to see a slow change. But it's a start.
Yeah, but we will, you know, it's like anything else. People
and
in positions of power have resisted progress that would diminish their power, and that's the way the world has operated for as long as there's been people.
Big question here, Al, isn't granted solar, we should be far more advanced if we can replace and lower the cost. Mm-hmm. Is this really going to lower our cost for energy? You know, are the people going to be able to afford, and you know, their utility bills are going to, you know, maybe start skyrocketing, but it might make a person take a personal interest in it and do something on their own. The problem I have is they're tying it to global warming. So that's
just their excuse. I don't know if they believe that. They don't believe it. That's just the excuse.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's another one of these things. You know, they tell you they're doing this to prevent global warming, and the truth of the matter is they are probably engaged in crony capitalism where they're going to pass laws that are going to enrich some people who've given a bunch of dollars to the Democrats, to the Republicans, to individual members in the Congress, the Senate, the White House. They get money from them, they pass laws. That's all. And what do the laws say? They say it's legal for people already have more money than they can spend to bribe congressmen to pass laws that will allow them to have even more money.
You don't even have to bribe congressmen anymore because they just go ahead and they just go beyond Congress. They don't even attempt to bother with Congress anymore. We saw what Mr. Obama did this weekend, just bypassed Congress and bringing and making the trade.
We'll see. You mean that? Yeah, I get that. All right, there he's stepped.
I mean, how many other things has he bypassed Congress?
Well, he bypasses on a regular
all the time.
Yeah, I know. Congress has become a fifth wheel, and it's their own fault because they have handed all sorts of emergency powers to the president, and they've rendered themselves irrelevant to a significant degree. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, Curator on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what's next, Melody?
Well, we're going to continue the special. It's been going great. We've had a great month, great couple of months, by offering a Silver Eagle with every trade, plus our Silver Eagles, probably the lowest that you can find. Here at Discount Gold and Silver Wall, our prices are very competitive, probably the lowest, and for as a legitimate price also, plus the quality of our products. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter that comes out on Monday, usually Monday evening, around 5, 6 o'clock, we were able to get it out. DGScoins.com. And if you have any questions that you'd like to comment on today's issues, you can email us at questions@DGScoins.com. Questions@DGScoins.com. And if you'd like to call us, you can do that also by dialing, what is that number? 800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. We encourage your calls. Yes?
If we wanted to know what the number is, we could talk to Joe from Arkansas, because he called up before the break. He wanted to talk to us. And if Joe is still there, Joe, are you there?
I'm still here, Al.
What you got for us?
Hello? Yeah, I want to say some things about this carbon dioxide business, and that's that. From what I've been studying about this carbon dioxide, I've been interested in since the 1980s, and what I found out is that actually carbon dioxide is a beneficial gas that makes life flourish on Earth better. Like, in one organic farming publication, Acres USA, I once read an article about some California soil scientists that we're studying the effects of a higher level of carbon dioxide. Right now we've got about 380 parts per million. They studied the effect of 700 to 750 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and they found that a fungus, which helps the soil become more fertile, flourished better with more carbon dioxide, so that the soil became considerably more fertile at higher levels of carbon dioxide. And I've also read that farmers that grow in greenhouses often pump in extra carbon dioxide into the air of their greenhouse because it makes the plants grow better. And I've read some articles on the internet about how some plants in the desert seem to be growing better with less water now because the levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are somewhat higher. And I've also read some information on the internet about how in the past, the carbon dioxide level was around 3,000 parts per million, about almost 10 times higher than it is now. And it was, of course, there was no devastation life on Earth, you know, it was just fine. And there was warmer periods and ice ages and so on like that, you know, at 3,000 parts per million, about 10 times more than there is now. And what's his name? Patrick Moore, I think is his name, one of the co-founders of Greenpeace, has said the same thing, that life has flourished on Earth just fine. We've had actually colder weather in the past when carbon dioxide levels were about 10 times higher than they are now. And so what it looks to me like is that actually we would be better off, all the plants would grow better, and life would flourish better on Earth with more carbon dioxide in the air, that of the things that people do to affect the environment, probably really putting more carbon dioxide in the air is actually one of the good things that we do. But these people in the government, you know, these scam artists that turn everything upside down and backwards, you know, are now telling us that carbon dioxide is our most serious pollution problem and that we have to do something about that, whereas probably it's something that one of the things that we do that's actually beneficial to life. And, okay, if these fuels are fossil fuels like coal and oil, if they're fossil fuels, that means that the carbon that's in them was originally in the atmosphere, and then it got locked into these fossil fuels buried deep underground. And so why should it be some kind of catastrophe or disaster if we burn those fossil fuels and put that carbon that used to be in the atmosphere back into the atmosphere? You know, it looks like the only effect it has is to help life flourish a little better. And the greenhouse effect is caused almost completely by water vapor, I've found out. Carbon dioxide actually has very, very, very little to do with it. So those are some of the interesting things I've found out in my studies about this carbon dioxide business.
Well, it's one of... You know, the problem we have is persistently a distrust of government. Government comes out and they explain to us that this is happening or something else is happening or somebody's responsible. There's a lone gunman. Government uses whatever facts show up. They use those facts to support whatever fundamental ideas government wants to push at any particular time, regardless of whether there's a correlation, regardless of whether there's truth in it. And we see that, and we don't know what to believe. Government tells us there's a problem. But as you're pointing out, the carbon dioxide is essential for plant life. It's the essence of photosynthesis. I won't say the essence, but it is by means of photosynthesis that the trees take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, and they make and they release oxygen. They keep the carbon for themselves. This is the carbon that's been locked in your fossil fuels. They release the oxygen for you and me to breathe. So the question is whether there is truly a warming effect caused by carbon dioxide, and whether that warming effect is more of a problem than the benefit we get to supporting plants with higher levels of carbon dioxide. And we know the plants need carbon dioxide. We know the plants flourish better with carbon dioxide. In theory, we'd get more corn, we'd get more wheat if we had higher levels of carbon dioxide. In theory, that would reduce the price of food. Now, that's theory. There are a lot of complex, there's wheels within wheels, a lot of complication, yada, yada. But if we could get a straight answer rather than a politically correct answer out of government as to what's going on, it would certainly be helpful. So you don't believe it's causing global warming?
Well, I've been very concerned about this since the early 1980s. That's when I started to get concerned and interested in this whole matter of carbon dioxide. And since then, what I've seen, the pattern I've seen in the weather is that, you know, it goes up and down. Some years they're a little bit hotter, some years a little bit colder. But overall, you know, there is really no significant warming or cooling that I say, that I've seen since the early 1980s. Even though, you know, the carbon alarmists have been warning us that things are, you know, that either some of them have been saying we're going to have another ice age because of it. Some have been saying we're going to have warming because of it. But neither one of them, the predictions of neither one of them have come true. You know, sometimes things are a little warmer for a few years. Sometimes things are a little cooler for a few years. But on balance, things go on in the climate pretty much as they always have. So, no, I haven't seen any significant trends or changes in any one direction in the weather since the early 1980s. What's that, about over 30 years
ago? I might agree with you from the early 1980s. What I remember as a child back in the 1950s and 60s in northern Illinois, we had some pretty nice winters up there. And there was a lot of snow on the ground. And my understanding is that it's no longer happening. I believe that there is, I am inclined to believe that there is global warming. The question is, what's causing it? All right, these cycles up and down, it may be following what's happening in the sun more so than anything else. I've seen one report that they've had, scientists have determined there's a kind of global warming going on with one of the moons rotating around, I think it's Saturn. And they could tell that moon is heating up by a couple of degrees compared to what it used to be. Well, it suggests that when that's happening, same times it's happening, we see global warming here. It suggests maybe this is a consequence of the sun. And that's not an original comment with me. I mean, there are other people who've made the same observation. They have the same suspicion. We can't do anything about the sun. And all you can do is identify what's the truth of the matter. And it shouldn't be. You know, you get a new idea, and it's possible to be mistaken. It seems like the idea is correct. It honestly seems that the hypothesis is correct. And yet it turns out, over time, you realize, oops, made a mistake, that's false. But still, we should be able to count on a higher level of veracity from our government and from our scientists. And it shouldn't be just a matter of information and alleged science being for sale to the highest bidder. We get the result that generates the most money, and that's wrong. It just isn't right, and it's contrary to our general interests. What else have you got for us, Joe?
Well, and human beings are also doing other things that affect the weather and the climate besides putting a little more carbon dioxide in there. Like there's military weather modification. I met a man in California in the 1980s, and he had worked in the Navy's weather modification program, and he said that the unusual and extreme weather of the late 1970s was due to the Navy's weather modification program that he had worked in. So if they could do that in the late 1970s, you know, what are they capable of now? I'm sure they've kept it up and learned a lot more by then. And probably,
well, heard,
and I understand Russia.
I assume you're referring to HAARP.
Well, HAARP is one of the programs, but then there's also cloud seeding and, you know, maybe some other things that they do to affect the weather also. And then, of course, there's the chemtrails.
Yeah, the chemtrails.
Yeah, the chemtrails.
Now, I think,
you know,
the only thing chemtrails makes... What do you think chemtrails are for?
I really have no idea. You know, I don't think they're for good purpose.
I don't believe they're for poisoning people.
But,
a lot of people have the conspiracy theory, oh, the chemtrails are here to poison us. That doesn't make any sense at all. If you want to disperse poison, people look up here at Dallas, Texas. Look up in the sky and you'll see chemtrails. Oh, my gosh, they're trying to poison us or something. At the level of those chemtrails, if I dropped a bowling ball out of a jet plane directly over Dallas, that bowling ball might not hit the ground for miles outside of Dallas.
But it still hits the ground.
Yeah, it does.
And there's still people
Dallas.
There.
What I'm trying to get to is this. It's like crop dusting. You don't do crop dusting from 20,000 feet altitude. All right, you do crop dusting right on top. You put that plane right down on the top of the corn, and you disperse whatever it is you're dusting that corn with. You disperse it at very low levels, because if you leave it up in the atmosphere, it gets blown all over. If they're sending out poisonous chemicals at 20,000 feet or whatever, Those chemicals are as likely to come down at the Air Force base where the plane took off from as they are on top of Dallas, Texas. And the same goes. But if you were dispersing some sort of chemicals into the atmosphere that were intended to compensate for global warming, for example, that's what some people think is going on. They're trying to reflect heat from the sun and reflect it back outside. Now, if that were the case, that would make some sense to me. But again, I just don't see the chemtrails as being. I know they have an adverse. I don't doubt they have an adverse chemical consequence. I've heard that they. I think some of them include an aluminum compound that winds up going down into the soil, adversely affects the plants, adversely affects the soil. I get that, but I don't think that's the intent. I don't know, but that's an opinion on. I think they're doing climate at 20,000 feet. I don't think they're dispersing poisons.
I read once, Al, that the fuel that the Air Force uses, they often give that fuel to commercial airlines that will produce that type of a trail. And you're right, they're not supposed to do that because it can have ill effects on the people. Mm-hmm. We live close to Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, and in the middle of July there was a day where it looked like it was snowing, and you know I do believe that was from they used to have the jets, the fighter jets and everything fly over there, and they often went overhead. And it would be like a spidery-looking type substance. It was sticky to the it just looked like – and at first we couldn't figure out – we just thought it was spiders until we saw it fall from the sky. So I do believe there is a substance.
You mean it looked like spider web.
Looks like spider webs.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen that one time here in Dallas.
It was
very
heavy.
A restaurant with half a dozen guys after a meeting, came out of a restaurant, and there was these long filaments, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 foot long, that were just dropping down out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish to this day that I would have had a jar or something to collect them. You know, we'd go out there like dummies. So, wow, look at this. Hey, it's kind of sticky. I wonder what this is. You know, when you think back on it, you think, how stupid can you be? But
so it can have ill effects on people. I think people have breathing problems. It can affect the
But I don't think it's the purpose. That's my my opinion, unsupported opinion.
To some degree, it is a purpose because they know it's happening and they're not doing anything to stop it.
Yeah, they're indifferent to it.
Yeah, so...
Well, another one. This is another example. This is another example. It's like legislation in Congress that's designed for crony capitalism. They pass laws to enrich people who bribe congressmen. The cronies will give Congress money. Congress will pass laws to enrich the cronies. The cronies will pass more money to Congress. Something like that goes on. Once you get a program established, for whatever reason, all right, we're going to do chemtrails because it's going to reflect heat off the earth and save us from global warming. That's the theory. Get the program started. All right, now let's see if you can stop it when it turns out, oops, the program is actually poisoning people. You can't stop it because you can't easily stop it. Because there are people that are working to make the chemical. There are people that are working to spread it by the air, in the airplanes or by means of airplanes. People have jobs. People have positions of power, yada, yada. We don't do what's right. We do what is profitable, at least for people closest to government. So it just goes to morality. It goes the way people are. Been going on for thousands of years. And all you can do is you have to stand up, speak out, fight it. Try to make a change. Anything else, Joe? Are you still here? Nope. I think Joe is bye-bye. Thank you for a call, Joe. What else, Melody? Well, I guess it's time for a commercial announcement again. Frank, we keep doing these commercials. I don't know. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here from Bloomberg, Unstoppable. $100 trillion bond market renders models useless. That's the headline. If the insatiable demand for bonds has upended the models you use to value them, you're not alone. Just last month, researchers at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York retooled the gauge of relative yields on treasuries, casting aside three decades of data that incorporated estimates for market rates from professional forecasters. Priya Misra, the head of U.S. rate strategy at Bank of America Corp., says a risk metric that she's relied on hasn't worked since March. Now, what they're talking about is they have economic models. These are economic models. They call it an economic model. It's an economic program. It could be on a computer. But it's a formula that takes a number of variables into consideration. It says, well, if the interest rate is this and the unemployment rate is this and the, you know, the price of housing is such and such, they formulate it one way or another, and they calculate what should be happening to the bond market. And what they're saying is their models don't work anymore. And they explain it in part by saying, after unprecedented stimulus by the Federal Reserve and other central banks made many traditional models useless, investors and analysts alike are having to reshape their understanding of cheap and expensive as the global market for bonds balloons to $100 trillion. The world's gotten more complicated, and it's a little different, said James Evans, New York-based money manager for Brown Brothers, Harriman & Company. He says, as far as predicting direction up and down, I don't think they have much value, referring to bond market models used by forecasters. What are they saying? They're saying no one knows what's going on. They don't have models that can reliably predict, are the prices going up, are they going down? Part of the reason is because the Federal Reserve, in its infinite wisdom, used quantitative easing to inject hundreds of billions. I don't know what it was altogether. I suppose it went over $1 trillion that they've injected into the economy over the last several years. This injection is unprecedented. And it's had effects that no one has been able to predict or even understand yet. But it's thrown previous economic models off to the side. It's, people are now steering this country, and they don't know what's going on. They can't tell. They can't make reliable predictions because the models no longer work. And again, this is cause for concern. This is one of those things where you sit back and say, let's see, if they can't really predict what's going on, it means they don't really know what's going on. It means we are quite possibly headed for a moment of volatility, perhaps even chaos, and none of the conventional economic models will even warn us before we get there. What does that suggest? It suggests that we are in a time of instability when people should move to safe havens where they protect their wealth despite the fact they don't know. We don't know what's going to absolutely happen, so maybe it's time to protect what wealth we have. If they're going to do it, certainly one of the safe havens, and everyone knows this, is gold. You want to get yourself some gold just because they don't even know what's going on in this economy. We've got a call from Jim in West Virginia. Jim, what you got for us?
Well, I used to do what's called regression analysis with my computer, to trend analysis, to figure things out. But I knew once that collateralized debt obligations, structured investment vehicles, and mortgage-backed securities moved into the bond market, the models were off. But I want to jump into this greenhouse gas. With both feet, and I'm going to slam dunk it. Okay.
Now, are you going to suggest we take the carbon dioxide out of Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola?
Not at all.
Well, if they come to that, we may have to regulate our Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola and the rest of our soft drinks to keep the carbon dioxide out of there, but go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you take the carbon dioxide out of it, it'll just cool the earth more, and I'll explain. Okay, there is no greenhouse gases, total bull. There's no such thing as a material which will cause heat to go one way and not the other. It violates all the laws of thermodynamics. If there were such a material, we could make panels out of it, put it onto our house, in the wintertime, throw away the heating system and flip them over. In the summertime, throw away the air conditioning system. It don't fly. It'd be like having a heat pump you didn't have to power with anything. Okay, so forget that greenhouse gas garbage. That's okay. If you burn a pound of carbon, how many BTUs of heat do you get? Can you answer that?
Nope.
14,450 BTUs if you completely burn a pound of carbon. Now, when a plant takes that carbon in the form of carbon dioxide and turns it back into carbon in the plant, it sucks out of the environment exactly how many BTUs? Can you answer that?
It would presumably be A equals A, which is to say 14,400 would be...
Bingo! You're the first person to get that right. First person I've asked to get that right. All right. That's Newtonian physics. It's just that simple. So... listen, CO2 cools the environment. CO2 warms the environment. Bull. Some little green plant is going to be out there. It's going to gobble up that little bit of CO2 and make it cooler. Hey, hello, it's a little cooler in a forest than it is in a city. I live on the cool side of a mountain in West Virginia. We're a good 6 degrees cooler than Charleston, West Virginia, and I'm about 45 minutes away from it. But it cools. Okay, another one.
Let me ask you this. While you're living up there in the woods, I observed something. I was in Oregon a year ago this time, and last winter, that last year, I was in Oregon, and I noticed for the first time that it crossed my mind, some big trees up there in the mountains, and you get a bunch of snow, but around the base of the trees, the snow is melted.
Right.
And it was evidence to me that the trees in the wintertime are absorbing heat. They are taking heat out of the atmosphere or perhaps out of the ground. But one way or another, those trees were warm enough where the snow didn't accumulate around the base of the trees. Have you observed the same thing up in West Virginia?
Almost certainly. It starts happening around January, February, because all of a sudden the sap starts going back up in the trees, and normally in February. That's normal.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a.
I don't doubt that it's normal, but it's just something. It's evidence that the trees are warmer than the surrounding air, and the reason is not absolutely clear, but it may be they're just taking, even in the wintertime, they're taking that carbon dioxide, their carbon out of the atmosphere, and if they're storing that heat, that's the implication. If that carbon was the result of 14,400 BTUs,
The green plant, when it's green, it cools it, so the coniferous trees, you know, like pine trees, continue their activity through the wintertime. Now, deciduous trees, no leaves, no, that doesn't happen. This is basically photosynthesis. Now, okay, there's a big old greenhouse, and this is West Virginia Research Device. They actually have a CO2 sensor in there. When the CO2 level drops too low, they got to change the air in the greenhouse. You know why, don't you? The plants stop growing. Hello?
Yeah.
Am I there?
I'm not sure.
Huh? Am I still there?
Yeah, you're still there.
Okay. Something else. Now, these are the people who are really adding to global warming, but you don't hear them bellyache about it. If you take a nuclear power plant, turn mass into heat, that does warm the environment. There's nobody running around taking and gobbling up heat and turning it back into mass. I don't know that it's possible. So they go on and on about global warming, but the idiots have the thermonuclear plants, and they're the ones which are adding to global warming.
Yeah.
Now, it is true that chemtrails do cool the environment, because during the daytime, the light bounces off of the clouds, because Mother Nature gave us a thermal feedback system, a negative feedback system, in a humid area. If it gets very hot, it makes clouds, which cools it off again. So this is a thermal regulatory system. But there is an the man-made global warming is absolutely bull, except the nuclear power plants. And not only that, there's a 200-year solar cycle I won't get into, but for whatever reason, all I'm saying is anybody that says man-made global warming, they are the biggest idiots out there. They don't know their science. The Pennsylvania Lord Christopher Monckton, and he and I've emailed a few times. But, yeah, I want to scoff this, and I love it when Joe Alexander calls in.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you another time. All right. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things.
Warm or not to warm? That is the question.
To warm or not to warm? Well.
But I think Jim is right about nuclear power plants generating heat that wasn't previously there. And they generate that heat by concentrating nuclear materials until they reach something close to critical mass. Those nuclear materials are normally dissipated in the soil, and they don't generate any significant heat, I suspect. And if they do, it doesn't amount to anything. I suspect that when they are combined and you have those rods put together, whatever you use in the particular, you know, nuclear power plant, they generate heat that's not coming from the sun per se. It's heat that we would not otherwise have. So you may have a point that nuclear power may be a primary, if there's any source for global warming that's man-made, it might be nuclear power may be principal contributor, significant contributor anyway. So,
I mean, it's like how they just don't give enough facts. Well, you know, you can argue that too. But again, you have to question everything that's given us and the information and so forth. And, you know, agreed. I think there's better ways that we can get energy. And I think solar is very important.
Solar, and, wind, there's a bunch of things.
There's a bunch of things.
I mean, there's other things in terms of, including just cutting your own consumption. There's two things happening. You get into LEDs for lights. All right? That means we will need less energy, at least on a per capita basis, than we would have if we'd stuck with incandescent lights forever. And we'll see other advances. We're going to see, who knows what we're going to see in the next 5 years. We may see something where your whole wall can glow, or your ceiling. Put up a coat of paint that generates light when you throw a switch. It's, you know.
No, I like that idea.
It's not impossible, and it may be cheaper than anything we have right now. So you got a bunch of things happening. I don't know. There's no stability. But it would be nice, again, from my perspective, I know everything's in a state of flux, but it would be nice if we could count on someone to tell the truth.
Well, the one thing that we can count on when we get back to reality is Gold. I hate to come back to gold, but I'm going to. Gold,
well,
really.
You don't hate to come back to gold. I know. That's just a figure of speech, Melody. I know you don't hate it. Go ahead.
No, I don't hate gold, and but it does really truly show the true reality of the market. It is manipulated. Yes, it is. And the reason they hate gold so much is one of the reason it takes away their ability to create money. And it's really that simple. We can look to all types of different ways to talk bad about good, to talk bad about gold and all the things that you hear from mainstream media. But the simple fact is gold is going to be very important in the things to come, in the scheme of things. The fundamentals for gold are there. And again, we talk about things that aren't, you know, they can't give us real facts coming from Wall Street, coming from Washington. It doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. And in times like that, the only place to be, as long as we have a fiat currency, folks, gold is the only way, the only place in order to preserve what you have.
Yeah, pretty much true.
Mm-hmm. Least amount.
You don't know when we're going to have the... Yeah, again, I've seen one study indicates there have been about 275 fiat currencies in the history of the world. Something like 15 of them are still functioning at this time. All right. But on average, of the 260 that have gone, come and gone, they only lasted on average about 50 years, and they expired. And when they did, they presented an economic collapse for the nation that used them and so on. Odds are we're going to see the same thing with the U.S. dollar. When are we going to see it? Nobody knows. Could happen later this year. Might not happen for several years. We don't know. The one protection against that growing probability is gold and silver coins, metals, in order to store value in the event of a collapse. If you have a failure of the U.S. dollar, which means the price, the purchasing power goes to zero. Under those circumstances, how are you going to protect and store your wealth? If you've got it in paper, and we've said it 100 times on this program, if you're trusting paper to store your wealth, odds are you are going to lose your assets. And that paper is going to have a serious problem, not necessarily today, tomorrow, this month, this year. But it's going to happen. And if you're going to store your wealth in the form of paper, odds are you're going to lose a big chunk of it, and you might lose it all. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening again to this program. Thank you for the calls from Jim and Joe. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day.